Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Well, hello there. It's your hostess with the mostess, Gaia Morissette, aka Empress Gaia, when we talk about the world of being in the dungeon. Okay, so first of all, we make sure you check the content warning to know what you've gotten yourself into. I am in the office, not in the dungeon at the moment. So all of my listeners, if you want to see what I'm wearing, you can go find my videos over at FetLife, which is Empress-Gaia. All right, let's get into our topic. So I put out, a request, and, you know, as always, I want to hear, you know, is there topics that audience wants to know? And so here was a request from one of you fabulous listeners, one of my fabulous audience, was, what? Let's talk about when the body says yes, so your genitals are aroused, but your mind says, fuck no. And all the conflict that happens in that. So first of all, why does that happen? Let's talk about, we'll start with, why does that happen? And what do we do about it? So over the years, I've talked about, you know, in our lovely podcast, My Orgasmic Life, we've talked many times about, okay, you know, our brains don't necessarily always tell us the truth, and our genitals are actually more truthful for what we desire, what our sexual desire is, where, what our kinks are, what our, you know, what is it that our deep dark desires really live. And the reason that often we don't end up following through on our deepest desires is because our brain is now put it in, our genitals are like, hell yeah. And our brain's like, fuck no, that's disgusting. That's gross. We should feel ashamed. We have all these fears of like judgment and it's wrong. And your, you know, religion comes into play big time of, you know, shame, 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 shame. It's what your brain's saying. Shame, shame on you. All the time somebody said shame, shame, shame. Wherever that messaging came from something you watched, that messaging came from something that, you know, you, something you're, you know, you're the adults in your life, that messaging came from maybe your spirituality or your religion. That message came that it was wrong and dirty in some capacity, and your brain has registered it's wrong and dirty. Okay. So that's the core. That's the first core of it. So how do we let go of, you know, before we get into, you know, our genitals are like, hell yeah. How do we change that narrative? Like, how do we move out of the, it's gross and dirty and wrong, whatever that is. Well, we got to learn a new technique called releasing shame. Okay. And releasing shame and reframing. So our lovely brains, which, you know, are wonderful and they're so brilliant, they come up with ingenious ways to make sure that we don't do things that our brain thinks will get us into trouble. Okay. So For example, if your brain thinks something is, you know, in the background, thinks that something is wrong, it may interfere in your body being able to do it. It may make you sick. There's all sorts of things that our brain will do to hijack situations because it wants to keep us out of trouble. Just not a bad thing. It's good that our brains are functioning that way. However, a lot of the things that our brain thinks that is keeping us out of trouble isn't actually keeping us out of trouble, and that there's no reason to feel trouble about in the first place. And sex is a big one. And sex is complex. It has many, 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 many layers to it. So first we need to let go of the judgment that sex is wrong, bad, or dirty. Okay, that's the first layer. Then the next layer of that is figuring out, is there any trauma or traumatic experiences that has interfered in your natural evolution of sexual development that is keeping you stuck, or you had a horrible experience that made it wrong, or somebody else may have made you wrong if you shared your desires and shamed you, okay? So first is societal, what you grew up with. Then it's the direct shaming of a situation. And then we can release all those things. And then we can get to, well, maybe it's okay that turns me on. But we can't even remotely get there. If your brain's like, hell no, gross, then we got to do those other layers first. So the first part of how do we release shame? Well, there's tons of different techniques that you can use to release shame. I did a whole podcast on shame. So go watch that podcast. It give you some concrete tools. It take you through like a guided meditation on how to release it out of your body. And what every time we release it, we're changing the neural pathways in our brain that says, oh, we don't need to feel shame. Shame is not something that is ours to carry with us. It doesn't serve us in any capacity whatsoever. Okay? So go listen to that episode. That'll give you a bunch of tools. Okay? So we let go of our general shame around sex. Then we need to address, again, I talked about the trauma. We may need to address, and this may be hooked in deeper, which you may need support with, which you can reach out to me. Then if we're a good fit, then great, I can help you clear it. If not, I have, Mistress Dana is really good at trauma work as well around sexuality. I might pass you over to her, see if she might be a better fit. And then I have a whole roster of people that I trust with helping to clear trauma and to clear this piece. So, reach out, I can get you in contact and get you set up with the right fit for you, whichever's going to work the most efficiently and quickly for you. Okay. So if it's trauma-based, here's an example. Okay. So we got our, childhood sexual trauma, sexual abuse. Okay. That's one layer. But then we also have our early sexual experience traumas that we may not realize are hugely a factor in what turns us on. Our early sexual experience, our early arousal responses to things create our orgasmic response to things, okay? And our arousal levels. So depending on what your experiences were, even early on, like the first time you had intercourse, for example, if, you happen to be a penis owner and you ejaculated before you even got your pants off, and then the partner that you were with laughed at you and then told all their friends, then you now will probably be suffering in some capacity from erectile issues and ejaculation concerns and all sorts of stuff because of that one moment. If you were giving a, first time you're, or, anytime you were giving a blowjob and the person, basically grabbed your head and held your head down and you couldn't breathe. And then they came down your throat and you choked and you thought you were couldn't breathe and you were going to die. That may interfere in your ability to like the fact of the powerlessness to two things. It could create an arousal response to, you know, being taken in that way, or it can do the opposite, which is now you have an aversion to any kind of, you know, oral sex. The each individual experience, this is the beautiful thing about the brain and who we are as sexual beings. Each experience creates who you are as a sexual being. So where your desires come from, how they, some of your desires may come out of trauma, some may come opposite of trauma. You never know where that's going to come from. And when we get to a certain place, it doesn't really matter as long as it's serving you. Okay. So again, reach out, because this is more complex. Reach out, I'll help, you know, and we'll help navigate those pieces. Now, okay, so once we've cleared that stuff, because that's some shit that needs to be cleared, now we can look at, all right, my genitals say yes and my brain says no. Why? Is it mine? Is it my shame? Is it my judgment? Is it societal shame and judgment? Well, I can let go and do my, you know, do my meditation, do my guided meditation, release it. We're gone. All right, good. Now my genital. Now I can just say, okay, well, hello, genitals. You think that that might be hot? All right. Okay. As long as there's doing no. So here's the rule in which I live by. This may work or may not work for you, but as all the years, over 20 odd years of helping people embrace their sexuality and who they are as a sexual being, and my own journey of sexual exploration, what I have found is that the question I need to ask is this, is, will this do harm to myself or someone else? That's the only question I need to know. That's the only answers that I need to know. And if the answer is no, it won't do harm to me, and no, it won't do harm to somebody else, then it's a green light. That's it. That's all it, that's all by my vagina has already told me. It's turned me on in some capacity. It got a little throb, boop, boop. My clit went, boop, boop. My vagina went, boop, boop. Which is like, oh. There's something arousing about that. But oh my God, that's weird. My head might be saying, I know my head is carrying a bunch of shit that's interfering in my sexuality, sexual expression. That's not mine. As long as the question that I ask is, will it do harm to myself or others? If the answer is no, then I'm free to start to explore it and do, you know, letting go of the shame, you know, embracing it, you know, whether that's, you know, I usually start, there's a couple different ways we can, you know, start the process. So, okay, your genitals go boop, boop. And you're like, oh, and your brain's like, no. And you're like, but your genitals are like, boop, boop. The boop, boop means, yes, this is arousing. Your brain, not true. Whatever it's saying is not true. So you use your tools. Go release the shame, it's not yours, all the things. Then you come back to ask a question, will this do harm to myself or others? If the answer is yes, then find out what kind of harm and how can you modify it so there won't be harm. So here's an example of that. All right, so let's take, you know, my last episode was on exhibitionism, and we talked about consensual exhibitionism versus like ethical exhibitionism versus harmful exhibitionism. So this is a great one to talk about, because my arousal response to being an exhibitionist, if I were to not do, so if I was to say, hey, you know what, it turns me on the idea of flashing people, for example. Showing them my boobs, showing them my vagina. So the question would be, you know, once I got over that's weird, size is wrong, blah, blah, I cleared all that stuff. I would then ask myself, would this do harm to others or myself? So the answer would be, of flashing strangers, yes, it would do harm to the strangers and it also do harm to myself. One, it could get me arrested, which is not an enjoyable experience, which will create long-term consequences. Two, somebody could get angry and then hurt me because I violated their space and so triggered people, and rightfully so, either run away or attack. That's what we do as human beings. So that would cause me harm. Not to mention the psychological damage that may cause somebody else feeling they felt safe in the world walking down the street, and all of a sudden I flashed them without their consent. Now it feels like a violation of their safety and their body and their experience in the world, with the expectation, you know, no, we don't know what trauma base, all the things that they're going through. Okay, so the answer was yes, it would cause harm. So then the next question is, how would that cause harm, which we just talked about? And how could I, then the next question that I asked myself is, how can I explore this so that it doesn't cause harm to myself or others? It's still not a right out no. It may be, okay, well, how do I do this thing that I'm desiring in a way that doesn't cause harm to myself or others? So with exhibitionism, as I talked about, you know, going to a swingers club, going to a sex club, going to a nudist resort, going to places where it's consensual, that the voyeur, there's just as many voyeurs as there are exhibitionists, and the voyeurs need the exhibitionists in order to watch, and the exhibitionists need the voyeurs to watch them, and it's all consensual. So that's how you could explore that in a safe way. You could make some porn where people then purchase, so they had the opportunity to choose to watch you. So there's like, these are the ways. Or maybe that might be problematic for your world. You know, making some porn may not do good things for your overall like life, having, you know, you on camera. So you may just then go and stay in the world of masturbation and fantasy. It may be a fantasy that you think about all these scenarios, including flashing strangers and all these things, and you get off in your fantasy world. Okay. So once you ask your series of questions, then you get your answers, then you come up with some solutions, then you can go explore. Now, before you go explore with others, I highly recommend that you start with yourself in your masturbation life, in your whacking off life, right? So start to explore whatever that is. You know, whether it's tentacles, exhibitionism, you know, fetish, whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything. Having sex with a merman, whatever it is that your brain once upon a time thought was wrong and weird and judgmental, and your genitals were like, boop, boop. Start to explore it in your fantasy world first. Get comfortable with it. Make sure you've released all the societal shame and judgments and any trauma that might be intertwined into that. And, you know, if your sexual arousal response is directly attached to shame, then you're going to need some help to like uncouple from that, untangle that. Okay. So do all that work and start with then it in your masturbation world. Once you feel good, like, yes, you can totally whack off thinking about the thing. You don't feel bad. You don't feel weird. You don't feel awkward about it. Then you can then selectively choose somebody to share that you fantasize about this. You're still not acting upon it yet. Okay. Right? You've now found a safe person that you can just tell that you fantasize about being spanked by a rubber chicken. My rubber chicken. One of my rubber chickens is sitting right there. That's my inspiration for that. So you can tell them, but you want to make sure the person that you choose is somebody who's really open. You're going to set it up on how do I negotiate? Like, you're going to set up, hey, I really want to share something with you that I've been struggling with, that I have some shame about. I really need you to not be judgmental. Can you do that? You're going to ask for what you need. Don't be like, hey, I've been thinking about sticking a rubber chicken up my cunt. How do you feel about that? Out of nowhere. While they're making dinner. their immediate reaction may be their own fears and their own judgments that may act, they may respond in that way, which will then reinforce why you're a weirdo and why you shouldn't feel those feelings and there's something wrong with you. So don't do it that way. That's just bad. It's just gonna run, get you reinforce all the things that you're trying to heal. Okay. So make sure you sit down, find the right person that's not judgmental and very open sexually. And even if somebody's open sexually, your sexual desires, whatever it is that they may be weirded out about, that they may carry that. So you need to prepare them so that they can hold that check in their own stuff in check to hold space for you so that you don't feel the shame. Because part of keeping things secret creates more shame. It reinforces that there's something wrong, reinforces something's wrong with you. It's bad, it's dirty, all the things. So breaking the secret, breaking the silence is another way of reclaiming that. Now, if it's again, you've decided that it won't do harm to yourself and others, and you figured out how to do it so that it won't create harm to yourself or others, then you may want to actually explore it. And one, you can explore it with your partner or partners, and hopefully they're sexual adventurers that are willing to participate in that adventure. Ultimately, that's the most wonderful. One of the most wonderful things is to share with a partner or your partners, depending on if you're monogamous or non-monogamous, your deep, dark desires. Okay, that creates a huge sense of intimacy, trust, connection. Creates a serious, beautiful bond. Okay. If you can, you can't always do that. Sometimes the partners that you have will not be okay with it. There's many factors that may prevent you from doing that. But in our dream world, that would be is the ultimate when we can share with people that we love, that who we are and who we are sexually and what our deep desires are, and they still love us and they still accept who we are, and they even may want to participate in your whatever wild deep dark desire that you may want to explore. That's our like, that's the ultimate, if we can have that. We don't all have those types of relationships. We don't all have those kinds of partners. And so I really want to recognize that that's not always available or possible. That's not available or possible, then there's other options. Options can be hiring a professional. That's their job. Their job is to help fulfill fantasies, whatever it is that those fantasies may look like. You know, it may be a pro dom, it may be an escort, it may be a sex worker, it may be, you know, it may be somebody who that's what they do, which again gets again a great space for you to explore new possibilities with a professional who knows what they're doing. And just hold on, I'm going to for a second. Not every how do I want to put this? Not every professional is skilled at what they do. That's a good way of putting it. Not everybody has the skill sets that you may need. So like when you hire any kind of professional, you need to make sure you do your due diligence and ask your questions and figure out what their experience level is and all of those things. Okay. All right. And so that's another option. Another option is to go find a play partner outside of your relationship. If you can't have that with your partner, again, it's not ideal, but we don't all have the ideals. So I just, you know, I'm acknowledging that piece. Okay. And you may want to then find somebody who's non-judgmental that you can explore those things with. Again, negotiating, finding somebody who have the same interests is compatible. There's a compatible thing. So if you're into feet, find somebody who's also loves their feet being played with. Or if you're into pony play, make sure you find somebody who's into playing with the ponies. And if you're, you know, into latex, make sure you find somebody that, you know, is into latex and doesn't have a latex allergy. Like, it's really important that the things that you are your desires, that you want to find compatibility, whether that's hiring somebody or finding somebody. And that applies if you're single, the same thing. If you're single, I would suggest hiring somebody to explore with so that you can figure out what a part of, especially depending on how elaborate your desires are, may be able to help facilitate that for you in a better way, an easier way, guiding you through the process so you can figure out, well, what is this that really I am really turned on by? And then you can then take that and go find somebody who is compatible that you, because you already know what it is that you want and the way you want it and how you like it and what it is it about. Because you've cleared the shame stuff, it allows you to do the exploring stuff. And then once you've done your exploring stuff, you can go find somebody that would also love to explore with you. And it's not so riddled with crap. And again, if you can do this with your current partner or partners, that's ideal. If not, not an option. There's other ways to go about things. There's always other ways to go about things. Let's just say that. There's more, always more than one option in everything we do in the world. Okay, so how do you find, so part of, you know, a good way to be exposed. So if you're an adventurer, an explorer, sexual explorer like I am, I will periodically, so I don't end up in a rut, because, you know, my job is all about helping people to embrace sexuality and talking about it. And you all love to hear my adventures of my escapades. So I choose to every once in a while, you know, I will go and I'll watch some porn or I'll read some porn. I prefer reading porn because it just... My arousal response activates more when I read it versus when I watch it. Sorry, nap time. So what was I saying? Oh, so I'll go and read a genre of porn that I would never contemplate. And then I wait for my vagina to go boop, boop. And I'm like, oh, really? So this is typically how it happens. I get a boop, boop. And first is like, really? Because my brain obviously doesn't acknowledge that that's an arousal response otherwise, or something that would turn me on, or otherwise it'd already be in my roster. So I'm like, really? And then I do my stuff, like I told you, let go of the shame, make sure that it's not hooked in, why I wouldn't be okay with it because of something that's happened in my, you know, past, make sure all things. And then I ask, okay, how can I explore this in a way that would do no harm to myself or others? I go through that process. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to start whacking off, thinking about what it is about that thing that I was like, really? Are you sure? That seems really weird. To the point where I start to then masturbate about thinking about it and all the different ways that I could, you know, explore that in my masturbation world. And then I, you know, I happen to be very, and I will own this, I'm very lucky. I have partner, my main partner. And then, you know, my bestie, I got some people that I can share that with. Some will act that out with me and some will be like, oh, good for you for sharing. Thanks for sharing that. But, you know, and because they're non-judgmental space. So I do feel very blessed that I have that possibility. And then I usually get the joy of being able to then, if I want to take it further, when I'm ready, to explore it in a way that works for me and all the people that are in my life and my partners and stuff. So, sorry. Whew. So that's how that sequence happens for me. And that is what continues, like, you know, my latest thing is tentacle, the tentacle. I, you know, listen to my, you want to learn how, what? You're into tentacles? You want to learn all about how that got happened is my, you know, Slutty Xmas over Slutty Xmas this year, 2023 Slutty Xmas, where I discover that I like tentacles and the things that go along with it and all sorts of beautiful things that happen in that. So I did use the process that I'm teaching. So it doesn't really matter what it is. You can use this process and clear it. And if you run into any problems, reach out. All right. Happy listening to your genitals. And, you know, clearing the things that your brain may not be on board so that you can all, so all of you can get on board to create some new neural pathways. There's no reason for you to feel bad or wrong or things. Now, there's certain arousal responses. Before we leave, I want to say there's certain acts and certain things that are illegal and will do harm to yourself or others that may only be able to show up in either role play or in your spank bank, right? So, for example, you know, it's really hard to go find a mermaid to fuck you. There may be things in your desire, there may be desires of, you know, age play, which again is not acceptable for many reasons. It will do harm to everybody involved. But there's an arousal response and the tabooness of it. And, you know, there's been a huge influx of like incest porn and things like that, which again is because of the tabooness of it, that in reality would be incredibly traumatic and abusive. So we can't act upon those things that we may have still desires to. And that's an important piece that I want to give you permission that it's okay to have desires that you may not be able to act upon, because the answer to will it do harm to myself or others if I do this will be yes. And there's no way around the actual thing other than it staying in your spank bank, in your masturbation world. And, you know, maybe doing some role play if you can find somebody that is into the same thing as you are. So that's also an important piece, that not everything we desire is viable to act out in real life or is necessarily good and healthy for us or others to act out. But that doesn't mean that your desires are wrong. And it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It's just, how do we navigate those desires? Okay. Any questions, any other topics, any feedback, please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. And again, you can watch my videos now. They're no longer on YouTube due to major censorship issues. So I've moved all my videos over to FetLife. And if you wanting to, if part of you is like wanting to explore more of me in my glory, as an exhibitionist, I've started making some very adult content that's very hot and juicy and steamy. And you can find me over at Loyal Fans under Empress Gaia. So it's well worth subscribing. If you're like, ooh, I wonder what guy looks like naked. Oh, she mentioned tentacle. Oh, yeah, I did a porn on that. So I invite you to go, to go enjoy other aspects of what I bring into the world. All right. Happy exploring. Stay curious. And I adore you. Mwah. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.